A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson, on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, thanks for tuning in on another Saturday. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, Betsy, one of the things that you've heard me argue about with you haven't heard me argue about it with my dad, but you heard me tell you about the arguments.
Yes.
About sprinkling my lawn.
Mm-hmm.
See, Dad's on the Lawn and Lakes Committee at his condo association, and he thinks he's an expert now.
Right, he is.
At everything related to that. So he's telling me when I should be sprinkling, how often, all of those things. And I disagree.
And well, so you got a real expert, didn't you?
I did get a real expert. Aaron Caterberg from Grapids Irrigation is going to be in the studio with us to tell us who's right, Dad or I.
Right. Now, I want to know if there are people out there who have decks or perhaps floors that they would like to get cleaned up and ready to put a new coating on. We have an awesome tool that we're going to tell you about that's going to take care of all of that for you without all the back-breaking work you thought you were going to have.
Exactly. Now, at Repco Light, one of the things we get customers in the store asking us about is how to bring their home out of the 60s because their basement or their living areas or their entire home is wall-to-wall paneling.
Right.
Everybody used to love that. Not everybody does anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got an easy solution, and we're going to tell you all the steps involved to get that paneling updated and make it look new and current.
Right. But before we get to that, we want to talk about something that's out there lurking that I heard on the radio the other day. Ticks are going to be a huge problem in Michigan this year.
Ticks?
Yeah. We thought it was bad last year, but apparently this year is going to be like
a
bumper crop.
That's the last thing I need.
Yeah, I know.
I don't do well with bugs as it is.
Yeah, me neither. Especially not this kind of bug.
So we've got David Popp, District Manager of Rose Pest Solutions in Grand Rapids, in the studio with us, and he's going to go over all things tick related. David, thanks for taking time to be here with us.
You're welcome.
Now, David, ticks are, you know, kind of a big concern for me. You know, I've got a large family and we spend a lot of time outdoors. You know, in fact, the other day, did I tell you this, Betsy, that my wife came in from working outside?
Okay.
And she noticed, oh, there's a little spider on me.
Uh-huh.
And then we all realized it was a tick. So then there's a lot of screaming, a lot of shouting, a lot of chaos.
Yes.
All of a sudden, this whole tick thing got real for me.
Uh-huh.
So, David, what I need to know is what can I do to keep myself, my family safe, you know, the people that visit?
Yeah.
And what can our listeners do to keep themselves safe?
We've got a great state here, and it's nice to be able to enjoy this state. We've got a lot of trails and landscape to be able to see. The important thing is if you're going to be in an area that's known for ticks, like trails, for instance, if you're going down a trail, go right down the center. Don't try to go onto the edge of it, going into the brush or the grass. It's important to kind of stay in the middle of it because you can pick up the ticks just by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go deep into a trail, make sure that you're wearing long pants and that the pants are, as an example, inside boots, that kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, protect yourself in that regard. Ticks like to be in shaded areas where there's maybe a higher moisture content. So if you're going to be back in those areas, we'll wear the long pants and the boots. And you can always utilize an insect repellent like DEET.
Okay. I am itchy right now.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to ask, you know, your wife, where was she? Because there are not woods around your house. I mean, your house is not in a wooded area. So is this something that they're just in the bushes? I mean...
They're gonna if I don't know if you're mowing your lawn well, but that's one thing that you want to make sure you're doing is keep the grass down.
I do a really good job.
That's
David. I don't know what you've heard.
He mows at least once a week. We hear
sometimes
all about it.
Sometimes twice, and then I like to complain about it.
Yes.
Ticks, like I said, they're going to be into a shaded area.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They like the high brush because what they do is they actually put themselves on a tall piece of grass, and they kind of sprawl out their legs. And what happens is as you go by or as a rodent goes by or a deer or anything like that, they'll attach themselves if you brush up next to them.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that kind of thing down will help out. If you're living in an area where there's a lot of, for instance, a lot of deer, the ticks are going to be there, especially the black-legged tick or deer tick. That's going to be around those areas. And that's the one of importance. That right now, there's five different types of or different species of tick that are really prevalent in southwestern Michigan. You have the American dog tick. You have the black-legged or deer tick. The Lone Star tick, the woodchuck
that
tick.
That one sounds fun. The yeah. Lone Star.
It's got tick. A nice little white spot on it.
It sounds really
so
big.
Lone Star, yeah.
So the lone, yeah, like Texas.
And the brown dog tick. The black-legged or deer tick is the one that's carrying right now Lyme's disease.
Okay.
That's the one that's really of importance that people are really concerned about. But the American dog tick and a couple of the other ticks do carry Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Ooh. And that's of concern as well.
And that's not as fun as it sounds. These are I got to say, I'm sorry, but they are really cool names. They're like country song names.
They are really
American
cool names,
dog
but
tick,
they're really horrible things
Rocky Mountain.
That they give you.
Yeah, no, but how was that again? Rocky Mountain?
Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
It's like something John Denver had, probably. So all of these things are really bad. And very prevalent, even in our area.
I mean, the black-legged tick is about 15% of the tick population. One thing I want to say, too, is that if you find a tick that's on your skin, if you find that tick quick enough, and it's already, say it's already embedded, the actual bacterium that's in the midgut of the tick actually does not get transferred from anywhere from about 36 to 48 hours. So you have time to be able to remove that tick before any disease transfer happens.
Oh. How do I remove? Is this something I can do?
Yes.
Is it a do-it-yourself project?
You can do it. But I would caution the old wives' tales. Take a lighted match, fingernail polish, petroleum jelly. Stay away from those.
Okay.
The best way to remove a tick is to actually take tweezers, which you had mentioned earlier. Take the tweezers as close to the skin as possible. Depress the tweezers and gradually put the pressure on to pull it off. Now, if there's some mouth parts that are still in your skin, you're still okay because that comes from their midgut. So it's not going to be. Now, after you remove the tick, put some rubbing alcohol on it or peroxide. And then it's probably important that you still, because you may not know how long it was there, but put it in some rubbing alcohol and have somebody take a look at it like our company to determine what kind of tick it is.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about ticks, which is just a lot of fun. We've talked about some of the diseases. Let's talk about prevention. I mean, what are the things that I can do to protect, you know, my home and my people?
Well, one of the things that you can do is very, very important is to keep the grass always mowed.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
If you happen to live in an area where there's a field or woods, what you want to do is try to put like a tick-free zone. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but ticks don't like to be in an area where there's, let's just say less moisture. So, for instance, if you were to put even a thing of mulch or, rock out in an area, it's kind of a no-fly zone, if you will, or
gotcha.
A no-tick zone. Mm-hmm. They don't want to cross over that to get, to where, there may be the swing sets and things like that. But if you can do that and keep leaf litter away because that holds moisture, and if you're in an area where, a lot of rodents might be or rabbits or woodchucks or deer, especially with deer, keep that kind of – try to keep that away from the house by doing one of those tick-free zones, if you will. That helps out.
Okay. Now – you're talking about all these things that you shouldn't have. What happens if you have all of those things and you can't do anything about it? Because my yard is very shaded, at least 3/4 of it, and there are deer and there are rabbits and every kind of critter imaginable. What do I do? I mean, I need to protect myself and my dog.
No, you just give up, Betsy. You're done. You're toast.
Well, I just try to stay as far away from the trees and the
just
line
try to
as
develop
possible.
A tick immunity. That's your only hope.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing is, it's just like in with mosquito, utilizing an insect repellent and some DEET. If you're going to enjoy, your yard, you make sure that when you come in or the kids come in, that you look and for lack of a better word, inspect them to make sure that there's no ticks on them. Because again, like I said earlier, you have time even if they embed into the skin, there is time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to take a look at it because one of the other things is that if you don't catch it in time, you don't realize that yourself or kids have been bitten. You got to kind of watch for any signs. Like, for instance, if it happened to be the black-legged or the deer tick, Lyme's disease, I'm sure you may have heard of the bullseye sign, where if they've been bitten and Lyme disease is setting in, look for that bullseye.
What is that exactly?
So
I know how to be terrified when I see it.
It's actually right where the tick had embedded itself. It's going to be a red rash, if you will, and then another one on the outside of it going all the way around. It looks like a bullseye. And that's an indicator that there is potentially Lyme's disease there. And please go to a doctor at that point.
Do you offer some sort of service? I mean, is there a spray or something that you can do to maybe help so that I don't have this problem?
Well, we'll treat. A lot of times what we'll do, too, is we'll do what we call as a tick drag. And what a tick drag is we'll actually take and kind of simulates you walking out there. We'll our guys actually go in and our their pants are inside their boots and so forth.
So they gear up.
They gear up. And then they'll drag a cloth, and it's generally a white cloth, to go through the brush area to see. And ticks will attach themselves to this.
Oh.
We'll see if that's there, and then we'll do a insecticidal treatment along by where that brush line is to your house, to the lawn area.
All right. David Popp from Rose Pest Solutions. If our listeners want to get in touch with you about any of the things you talked about, how do they do that?
Well, certainly they can call us at our telephone number, which is 616-534-5493.
Sure.
They can reach us through our website, which is rosepestsolutions.com. Also, we have social media, Facebook, Twitter, all the different forms of social media.
All right. So rosepestsolutions.com, that's how they get a hold of you. David Popp, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, sponsored by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood, 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Now, when we come back, we meet a lot of customers in the store who feel like they're stuck in a little bit of a 60s time warp. You know, they have that paneling going on, and their question is always, can I paint that and bring myself into the current century? The answer is, yes, you can, and we're going to tell you how to do it when we come back. Stay tuned.
What if there was a paint so special that you had to seek it out? No, not like that. Not that far. Much closer. Like your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Yep, you got it. Because if finding that paint makes you and your walls beam with pride, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. We're glad you're here. After that big, long talk about ticks, we're surprised.
Everyone's not out looking.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Ew.
So gross.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I ever get one.
You're going to scream like a girl? Yes.
That's so sad to admit, but I will.
Yeah.
I'm a screamer.
I know.
I wish I wasn't. It's so sad. A bird scared me the other day. The whole family heard me scream through the whole house.
Well, I just heard you screaming because a squirrel ran out in front of you. So, yeah.
On the way in here to this morning, a squirrel jumped out of the bushes and terrified me.
Yes.
I'm really pretty brave. It's just a natural reaction is screaming.
Right.
Anyway, I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we're going to quit talking about Dan screaming and move on to, well, I guess it could make people scream, something that they have in their house, the old paneling from the 60s that, you know, kind of gives you that time warp feeling. Sometimes it makes us want to scream.
It does, because it's such an overpowering look in a room.
Yeah.
If you like it, and it is coming back
to
some extent. Yep. You know, just like some of these retro colors, it's got that retro feel to it. And in certain situations, it's great.
Right.
But in a lot of our homes,
it's just dark and dated.
It's dark, it's dated, and it really locks you in. It's hard to expand to any kind of new style or feel when you've got that on the walls.
Exactly.
The good news is it's easy to fix.
It is. It's, you know, a day project, maybe a day and a half project, and it's going to lighten and brighten your room. The first step is just to assess what you've got going on. You know, there's regular solid wood paneling. There's a pressed board that has a vinyl picture over top of it, and you need to know what you're dealing with so that you know what type of primer to use.
Once you figured out what you're working with, the second step is really to get the process going, and that's to start by cleaning it. See, there are so many, over the years, so many waxes and polishes that people will use to clean these things, and just regular body oils.
Yep.
You know, I've got greasy, acne-ridden, I should not say that, poor children.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't listen to this part, children. You're still beautiful.
Oh, my.
Terrible. But they do struggle. I struggled with acne.
Well,
we all do.
Most kids do.
I stressed out a lot.
Yeah.
I was like an oil field.
Uh-huh. It happens.
I was very slippery. I was hard to catch.
How has that changed?
I just squeezed right out. Well, now it's sweat that makes me slippery.
Right.
Anyway, there's a lot of body oils in various things that will appear on your walls over time. You've got to wash that off.
Yep. Just TSP and water. We talk about TSP all the time. Trisodium phosphate. Mix it with some water. Wash the walls down. Make sure you rinse it well. And you're good to go for the next step. Now, a lot of people ask about the grooves that are in their paneling. You can fill it with wallboard compound. The only thing I will caution you about is if you do that, there's a very real possibility that even though you filled it, you will still see a line everywhere one of those grooves were.
Right, because the texture's different.
Right, exactly.
You know? So you've got that going on. And you also could run into, if it's solid planking, you know, not
real
paneling,
wood.
But real solid wood planking, it could chip out. It likely will chip out as that expands and contracts over time.
Yep.
And if your paneling is flexible, if you can touch it and move it, it's going to chip out. So you can do it, but we caution.
There's a lot of caution with that. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're talking about painting your paneling. We've just talked about filling the grooves. If you want, we're cautioning you on that. Now we want to talk about sanding everything. You want all of the walls sanded. Now, you know, a lot of primers out there will tell you that you don't have to sand. Well, we always tell you to sand because it's a good insurance policy. It gives that primer something to bite on too. So 20 minutes, half hour, you're good to go.
Exactly. After you've sanded it, now it's time to move on to primer.
Yep.
And you start by priming just a couple of the grooves, maybe 3-4 grooves ahead with a brush.
Yep.
So brush the primer into those grooves and then go over the whole panel with a roller to even everything out. Do it while the primer in the grooves is still wet so that you can get a nice even finish. The tendency is to want to brush the grooves all the way around the room and then go around with the roller. Don't do it that way because you're going to put a lot of paint on when you're dabbing it into those grooves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get that evened out while it's still wet, you're going to see ridges and you'll end up doing a lot more sanding.
Right. And one coat of primer should do it. You might still be able to see through a little bit. That's okay. The primer is not meant to hide anything. It's just there to help block any of that other stuff from coming through.
Now, talking about primers, here's a situation where the right primer makes the job.
Right. Exactly.
You definitely need the right primer. If you've got wood, you've determined that it's either solid wood or it's a just a wood, plywood paneling, then we'd recommend Benjamin Moore's Fresh Start Multipurpose Oil Primer.
Yep.
That would be a great option.
Yep.
Repcolite makes Zip Prime WB.
Yep.
Aqualock from Insulex is also another great primer for real wood.
Exactly.
Now, if you've got real wood paneling with lots of knots, you could have those knots bleed right through. So you want to use a stain blocking primer or a good oil-based primer. So again, the Benjamin Moore Fresh Start Primer would be great, or even Bin Primer from Zinsser if it's a lot of knots and you're concerned about it.
Right, and if you happen to have that vinyl stuff over top of a pressed board, then we recommend that you use the Styx Bonding Primer. It's an Insulex product. We carry it at all Repcolites. That's going to be the best primer that you can use to bond to that surface.
There's a lot of different surfaces, and there are a lot of different primers that would work. So just stop out at any Repcolite or Port City Paint store, tell us what you're working on, and we'll recommend the best primer for your situation.
Right. And then obviously the last step, once you've primed, is to paint. And
unless you really like that, you know, faded out, half wood showing through look with a primer.
Exactly. And, you know, you just want to get a good paint up there. So Repcolite's Hallmark or Carefree, any of the Benjamin Moore ones are going to be great. And a newsflash, Benjamin Moore is coming out. You know, we talk about sometimes that advanced product, the modified Elkid, you know, clean up with soap and water.
But still oil-based.
Right, but still oil-based. We talk about it for trim. They are coming out with it in a matte finish in the next couple of weeks. We are very excited. So now you can paint your walls with it, and that is very cool.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show on News Radio Wood, 1300 and 106.9 FM.
So I want to know who has a garage or maybe a wood floor that they would like to finish but are dreading all the backbreaking work and all the dust, of course. After the break, we'll tell you about a tool system that will save your back and have the job done dust-free in no time. Stay tuned.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color? What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, Is it still paint? Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repco Light Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. How's that? That's pretty cool. That's my radio voice.
Oh, your radio big boy voice?
Oh, wow. Why do you have to do that? That is... I spend my whole life with short jokes. This is like the one place where I could get away from it. And you got to level me with that.
Yeah, well.
Seriously. And I did sound taller, didn't I?
It's not tonight. A matter of height. It's a matter of, you know, that's what little boys.
Maturity?
Yeah, it's what little boys do. This is my big boy voice.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, let's just get to this because I'm sick of hearing about
using
me.
Your big boy
yeah,
voice.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm sure that you're going to somehow put a story into here about you into this segment, aren't you?
And it's about me being dumb, yes.
Imagine
so
that.
I did a floor in my upstairs,
yeah, yeah.
A hardwood floor, and I rented a sander, mm-hmm. You know, a big belt sander from a store.
You're a brave man, Dan Hansen.
Well, I didn't realize that at the time. No, I'm a screamer.
Oh, you were screaming as the
yes.
machine was going.
I started this machine on the floor, and it took off.
Yeah.
Like a wild animal.
Yep.
And I was trying to control it, and I mm-hmm. did pretty well by the end.
Right.
There were a couple times where I cut huge gouges into the floor.
Yikes.
It turned out okay, but it did make me think, how in the world could I ever do this on a nicer floor?
Right.
I was scared to death of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a machine now at Repcolite
yes.
that I am dying to try. First, I've got to get hardwood floor in my new house. Then I'll try it.
Right.
Because it would eliminate all of these problems that I've had.
Yeah, it's a really cool machine. It's called an on-floor machine. And it's a walk-behind floor, sander, and a grinder. It's a multi-purpose. The tools just switch out real fast on it. And it's unique because it has what they call passive planetary movement.
Which is so much fun to say to people because they think you are so intelligent.
Well, they think that and then they scratch their heads and go, what is that?
What in the world does that even mean?
So this has three heads on it and they all spin one way. The heads hold the tools. And then there's a drum that goes around those that spins the other way. So it just creates all these teeny tiny little scratches that
thousands
you can't
and
even
of
see.
Scratches.
Right. And it takes the coating right off. No matter what you're trying to take off, it is amazing to see it at work.
Right. And I talked over Betsy because we're still new at this. But what she was saying is thousands and thousands of scratches. That's what I said.
Yes.
But what she was saying is you can't even see them because they're so fine
right.
and there's so many of them. That's
right.
the beauty of this.
Exactly. And with all of those heads and with the way it moves, it literally floats. So when Dan was talking about, you know, holding on to a wild beast and it just took off on him, this won't do that. You can quite literally move the machine with just two fingers.
Even me.
Even you.
And I have.
Yes, I know.
Because I've used it on a
and
deck.
And you didn't believe me when I first told you that you could do that. You looked at me like I was crazy.
Well, I know how I work.
Right.
And I know my limitations.
Yes.
And I was really surprised how easy it was to control. I think I was walking around with a glass of water.
Yep. Exactly.
I think my pinky was extended as
yes.
I was delicately
yes.
sipping.
Yes.
And I was still
right.
sanding the deck.
Exactly.
The great thing about it is it's so versatile.
Yes.
It can be used in so many different situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we start to walk through these, it's going to get you scratching your head, wondering about all the different ways you could use this in your home.
Right.
You know, first off, a no-brainer is decks.
Yes, exactly. It has, you know, most people think, well, my deck has these old boards and it has, you know, potentially some stain left on it and I just can't get it off. Might as well trash it. Don't do that just yet. This machine has these bristles, these real stiff bristled brushes. They're carbide impregnated, which just takes the paint off or the stain off like crazy. You won't even believe. You'll have your deck looking like new in absolutely no time.
The manager at our Plainfield store,
mm-hmm.
the Plainfield Repcolite,
yep.
he has a friend who had that exact same situation. The friend called him and said, I'm going to just put a new deck in because I've got solid color stain, so many layers of it
yep.
on the deck. And Bob, mm-hmm. the manager, said, don't do that. We've got this machine. He got it arranged, the
yep.
rental arranged. got it out to his friend, and the friend texted him what? What did Bob tell us? 2 hours later,
yeah.
after he started,
yep.
and said, the deck looks brand new. I'm almost done in 2 hours.
Exactly. You can do about 300 square feet an hour on a deck, you know, as long as the stain's a little bit older, not, you know, you didn't just put it on last week, but,
right.
You know, it goes really fast. It'll have you looking like new in no time.
The beauty of it is all those things, plus when you sand your deck
mm-hmm.
using this machine, you can stain it that same day
yep,
if
exactly.
you wanted to.
Yep.
You know, there's no moisture on it. You haven't washed it and introduced all that water. You
mm-hmm.
don't have to let it dry. So if you've got a graduation open house or
which
something.
Which is happening a lot right now.
This is perfect for that.
Right.
The other beautiful. The other beautiful thing about it is those deck brushes that Betsy talked about. They will go right over raised nail heads.
Yep.
Whereas a regular sander that you could rent, it's going to rip the paper right apart.
Exactly. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we are talking about a very cool tool that we have at Repcolite. It's called the on-floor machine. It's a floor sander and grinder. We just talked about using it potentially on a deck. That same tool can be used on wood floors. You know, we talked about Dan's experience, you know, with the drum sander and how horrific it was. This one is nothing like that. There's a tool that will scrape off mastics, glues, polyurethanes, paint, whatever you've got on that wood floor. It will take care of it for you, and then you
can
just
sand
it.
Wood. Yeah, and right.
One machine will do all of this stuff for you.
And you can rent it with a vacuum system.
Yes.
And that vacuum system makes the entire process virtually dust-free.
Exactly.
So you can do this in your home. I know when I did this in my upstairs, it has a little bag on it.
That, and you're constantly emptying.
Right. Now, that's the one that I rented, the different sander.
Right.
And I had dust everywhere, even
yeah.
with that little collection bag.
Yep.
This is entirely different from that. It's an actual vacuum system.
Yep.
That will remove the dust virtually from the air.
Yeah, that means a whole lot less cleanup when you're all done. Because I know that's always a concern when you're sanding wood floors or doing any of these projects, the cleanup that you have to do mm-hmm. afterwards.
So you can use it on decks. You can
mm-hmm.
use it on hardwood floors.
Right.
But it's also perfect for concrete. So shop floors, garage floors, you know, a warehouse that
yep.
you've got.
Exactly. It's going to take off any coating that you have on there. There are special heads for that. And if you have new concrete or even some old concrete that just needs to be cleaned up, there are special diamond bits that will grind just off the top layer, and you'll be all set for whatever coating you might want to put on
yeah,
there.
Whether you want an epoxy, whether you want to stain it.
Yep.
All different options. You know, garage floors, everybody loves to paint those.
Exactly.
We've got options. We can walk you through that.
Yep.
This is just a great way to get a profile on your floor and make it ready for a coating.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to warn you, it might seem like it's an expensive tool to rent, but really when you think about the time that it's going to save you, and you know, if you rent it for a whole weekend, do you know how many things you could get done? You could get a wood floor done, you can get your deck done, and you can get your garage floor done with one rental, and it will take care of all of that. That's pretty incredible.
It is very incredible. Very good, Betsy.
Thank
we'll
you.
We'll put the rental rates in the show notes, and you can call any Repcolite or Port City Paint store to check the availability.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show on News Radio with 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Now, just around the corner, we'll be in the studio with Aaron Katerberg from Grapids Irrigation, and he's going to help me solve a longstanding debate that I've got going on with my dad about lawn sprinkling. One of us is right, and the other one's a loser.
And you hope it's not you.
Well, I hope it's not me. Oh, I hope it's not me. We're going to find out who's who when we come back. Stay tuned.
What if there was a paint where each drop was engineered to be smarter than you ever thought possible?
Announcing our summa cum laude graduates.
So when a color didn't go on evenly, it would reshuffle each pigment to reveal its truest, richest state. If a paint could realize the fullest potential of any color, is it still paint? Aura Interior from Benjamin Moore. Paint like no other.
Serving all of West Michigan, Repcolite Paints is your neighborhood Benjamin Moore retailer. Learn more at repcolite.com.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And I am excited about this particular segment.
I know it was a horribly long break for you.
Oh, I'm very twitchy because
yes.
I'm going to solve or bring to an end what feels like a lifelong debate between my dad and I.
Yes.
One of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong, and it's going to be so sweet.
Yeah. Well, that's if you are right.
That is correct.
What if you're wrong?
I can't imagine what that's going to feel like. But it's a sprinkling debate.
Uh-huh.
It happens every summer. And finally, now we've got the opportunity to get the answers.
Right.
So we've got Aaron Katerberg from Grapids Irrigation in the studio with us to settle the debate once and for all. Aaron, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Aaron, ever since I bought a house, I've been agonizing about my yard, wanting it to look like other people's yards.
Yeah.
And I knew sprinklers were a big part of it. Then we moved into a new house a few years ago, and I finally have the potential to have that yard because I've got an in-ground sprinkling system. But every year, my dad and I have a number of debates regarding sprinkling. And one of the debates that sometimes gets a little energetic is how often I should sprinkle. So let me quick tell you what I've got going on. I think the ground that I have around my house is clay, or at least there's a fair amount of clay in it. And I've got this system set, like the previous owner did, to sprinkle every single day. Dad is arguing that I am not allowing the roots to really develop. I'm not forcing them to, you know, go deeper and develop a stronger root system because I'm constantly watering it. He says I should water much less. But when I do that, I end up running into problems because the grass seems to brown. What is the best way to go here? Who's right?
There's some truth a little bit in each.
Okay.
So Dad is right, as usual. That's the way it usually works, right?
Well,
more experience, you're usually right more often.
Shoot! I'm going to owe him.
Yep.
So if your root base is shallow, because you're watering all the time, your grass never has to work or go down for the water. So when you do get to a hot period, your grass is going to burn because it doesn't have that root strength or that ability to pull for more soil. So there's a balance there between when it needs it, you've got to get it water, but when it doesn't need it, you want it to have to search for it. So you don't want to overfeed it, but at the same time, you don't want to underfeed it and let it turn brown.
Okay, so probably every single day is too much for my particular case.
I would say definitely in the spring and the fall. If you find your lawn is stressing, sometimes you have to catch it back up. If it's starting to die out, then once in a while you'll need to run every day. But if you built a good root base like your dad suggests before you get to that point, then it running every other day, you should be in good shape.
Just laying it on thick there for
like
dad.
Like your dad suggested.
Okay. So when I try that, though, I've noticed that it does go brown. I'm just going to have to got through that?
Well, you may already be to the point when if you tried it in July, you don't have any roots and you're going to burn it up.
So then I need to just keep going. If I'm middle of summer, keep going.
Keep going.
That's always when I tried to change it. When should I change it? Right now?
If you're changing it now and not getting your lawn into that habit that the water is always there for it, so you want to push it a little bit to the level that it has to stretch itself, that it has to grow deeper, that it has to search for water before you get to the point that it absolutely needs water, like when you're doing it in July or August.
Yeah. I think I can live with that.
Yeah,
because my biggest problem has been when I would start it, it turns out that I would always try to shift and try Dad's plan in the middle of the summer. And then right away I tell him, look, the grass is dead.
You're
killing my yard, man.
When really it was just you.
It was just me.
Do you owe your dad an apology now?
I do, most likely.
Oh.
If he was telling you in July, he was telling you to kill it at that point because you weren't ready for it.
So we were both right is what you're saying.
Yes.
There we go.
Sure.
So basically, I've got to sprinkle every other day. That's how it's going to work best for me. But that brings me up to the next question, the next debate that Dad and I have. What is the best time of day to sprinkle?
So the line that I've always learned since I was little is God sends dew in the morning, so that's when we water too.
Okay.
And really, as you look at studies from Michigan State or the other lawn studies from Ohio State, I shouldn't say that here in Michigan, but they all say the same thing, that early in the morning is the prime time. If you water during the day, the droplets that are on the leaves act as magnifying glasses and tend to burn, as well as you lose a lot of the efficiency because the water goes into the air quicker, evaporates. Mm-hmm. If you water at night, you tend to get mold and fungus, and which is obviously not good for the plants either.
Nobody wants mold and fungus.
No.
It's one of my things that I like to not have mold and fungus anywhere on my feet, my bathroom, or my lawn.
No.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Aaron Katerberg from Grapids Irrigation, and he's been telling us about good sprinkling practices and what we should be doing to our lawns. Now, I want to kind of switch what we're talking about a little bit here. I have a very shaded yard for most of it, mm-hmm. and it is so wet all the time. I mean, like, it rains, and it's just sticky and mushy for days. And there's a lot of rocks in it, so you would think that there would be good drainage. It just, it's a mess. And there's a lot of moss because it's so wet. What do I do about this? I know you guys do drainage. Can you help me out?
For sure, Betsy. So, I mean, one, your trees aren't helping you somewhat. If,
no,
you, if you pruned
not.
Your trees back, I'm sure you would probably dry up a little bit. But
right.
all of us here in Michigan love those beautiful mature maples yeah. and everything else you have in your
That's
yard.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of drainage on yards like yours mm-hmm. or a yard that tends to be the bowl in the neighborhood mm-hmm. Where everybody else's yard pours into theirs.
Yeah.
Yep. So we install a lot of what's called French drain.
Okay.
And it's a perforated pipe that we surround all of the drainage material with fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So back historically, it's been gravel. We've started using a styrofoam product to replace the gravel.
Oh, really?
But that sucks all the water from that area of the yard. And then we drain it down to a lower area, potentially off your property into mm-hmm. the backwoods or
the neighbor's yard.
Neighbor's yard.
We would not do that, though, right?
So,
that would be
It
so
happens
rude.
A lot of times. You see kind of it goes from one neighbor to the next. But you're putting it underground instead of putting it above ground, at least in your yard, when you're catching it that way.
So right. you can – okay, here's my question, because I think it's similar. It's right along the same lines. Mm-hmm. At my old house, lived in town in Zealand, and I was that house you described. It was a slope, mm-hmm. you know, from the one end of the street down to me. I'm at the bottom of the slope. I would end up, every time it mm-hmm. rained, if it would get significant rain, I'd end up getting water in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you could help me with?
So it's not an exact science always, but yes, very, very much so. So typically what we'll do on most systems, when we estimate a drainage system, we're trying to look at all those factors. So we will catch the water from all of your downspouts and put that in a solid pipe and bring it somewhere else. We'll catch the water from your sump pump that's pumping the water out instead of it just doing a circle around down the foundation and around from the sump pump outside.
Right.
We will bring it somewhere else, or we will put in an area like we were talking with Betsy about mm-hmm. that needs French drain because it's lower out in the other area of the yard, or before it comes into your yard because you're on the downhill from the neighbors, we catch all the water on that side and try and keep it from coming to the basement. The difference between what we do and foundation drains is they're down 8 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a basement waterproofer come, or they do something similar to what we do when they break all your floor along the edge of the inside of the house, and then they put gravel in there and they mm-hmm. put drainage, we're trying to catch the water in the first 18 inches of soil on the top before it ever gets down there.
So have you seen success where you've actually reduced or eliminated moisture in a basement?
Oh, huge.
Huge.
Huge. I mean, we've been able to absolutely stop it. What we do always makes an improvement.
Right.
Whether it will dry up your basement exactly, I can't say for sure, but of the systems we go to, it's very rare that it doesn't take a vast majority of the water away.
Okay.
So does this go right up against the house, or does this go like kind of in the middle of my yard? Because the middle of my yard is where I have the problem.
It goes where the problem is.
Okay.
So if you have a problem in the basement, we're trying to figure out where we can catch the water before it ever gets to the basement.
Okay.
If you have a problem in the backyard that everything is low, it lands
okay.
right in there. There's also grates that you'll see sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
often that's what's associated with mm-hmm. yard drainage.
Yeah.
The problem with a grate is it never absorbs any of the water lower than the top surface.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have those in a lot of times the system at a very low point, but it's not always the ideal for dragging all the water out of an area. And I mean, there's been systems where we've taken thousands and thousands of gallons out and dewatered an area that sometimes homeowners haven't been able to get on in for 2 or 3 weeks after a spring rain. And they tell us that they can get on within a
wow.
couple of hours now.
So, Aaron, if our listeners want to get a hold of you, if some of them are sitting in a canoe right now somewhere.
Paddling around.
You know, that rain that never quite went away.
Uh-huh.
How's the best way to get a hold of you at Grapids?
Yeah, our local number in Grand Rapids is 616-235-6666. That's 4 6s. And our email is service@grapids.com, or our website is grapids.com. And there's potential links on there, too, where you can ask for service or tell us how we're doing.
Cool. Aaron Katerberg from Grapids Irrigation, thanks so much for answering our questions again. Yes.
Thanks again, Betsy and Dan.
And that's going to do it for today's Repco Light Home Improvement Show. You can listen to this and past broadcasts online. Never forget that. Mm-hmm. Just check out our Home Improvement Show archives at repcolite.com. All you need to do is click the On the Radio tab on the homepage.
And if you have questions or topics that you'd like us to cover, email us at radio@repcolite.com. If we use your question, then you get a free gallon of paint, and that's a start to a great project. You can also connect with us on social media. Just click the links on our homepage. Go check it out.
And don't forget, whatever project you're working on this weekend, there's a Repcolite or a Port City Paint store near you. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And help you get rid of the pond in your basement. Thanks for listening.